Good morning, it's May the 4th, 2025, in the year of our Lord. And the title for my message is The Breakfast Club. My first reading comes from the book of Job, chapter 11, verses 7 through 9. Can you fathom the mysteries of God? Can you probe the limits of the Almighty? They are higher than the heavens above. What can you do? They are deeper than the depths below. What can you know? Their measure is longer than the earth and wider than the sea. And my second reading comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 21, verses 1 through 19. Afterward, Jesus appeared again to his disciples by the Sea of Galilee. It happened this way. Simon Peter, Thomas, also known as Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee and the two other disciples were together. "I'm going out to fish," Simon Peter told them, and they said, "We'll go with you." So they went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. He called out to them, "Friends, haven't you any fish?" "No," they answered. He said, "Throw your net on the right side of the boat and you will find some." And when they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. Then the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." As soon as Simon Peter heard him say, "It is the Lord," he wrapped his outer garment around him, because he had taken it off, and jumped into the water. The other disciples followed in the boat, towing the net full of fish, for they were not far from shore, about 100 yards. And when they landed, they saw a fire of burning coals there with fish on it and some bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish you've just caught." So Simon Peter climbed back into the boat and dragged the net ashore. It was full of large fish, 153. But even with so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." None of the disciples dared to ask him, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came, he took the bread and gave it to them, and he did the same with the fish. This was now the third time Jesus appeared to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. And when they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." "Feed my lambs." And again Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Take care of my sheep." The third time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, "Do you love me?" He said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." And Jesus said, "Feed my sheep. Very truly I tell you, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go." Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. And then he said to him, "Follow me." The Breakfast Club. You know, some people love eating breakfast to start their day off right. And personally, who doesn't love the smell and sound of bacon on a frying pan with scrambled eggs and toast and maybe a cup of coffee, with that smell permeating and wafting through your home? On the other hand, some people prefer something light, like a grapefruit. I remember watching my mother and my grandmother sometimes eating half a grapefruit. They would cut it in half for breakfast. Others might go with a bowl of cereal because it's convenient. That's what my generation has been raised on in many respects, is a bowl of cereal. And others prefer just to grab a cup of coffee and off to work they go. And still others they really don't eat anything at all. Now, how that happens, I don't know, but I know there are people who don't eat breakfast. This morning's reading is the fourth appearance in John's Gospel of Jesus being alive, walking and breathing among his disciples, except this time he's going to have breakfast with his boys at the lake. Now, the first time that Jesus appeared after his death was Mary Magdalene. Mary Magdalene was in the Garden of Gethsemane. The tombstone was rolled away, and Jesus wasn't there, and she was upset. She was crying and thinking that the gardener was there. Jesus appeared to her, and all he had to do was say her name, Mary, and she realized the Lord was before her. Later that same evening, on the first Easter Sunday, with all the disciples in fear and trepidation locked in a room, Jesus appeared among them and said, "Peace be with you." It was a week later, when Thomas is there, that Jesus also appeared again. And he said to Thomas, "Take your hands and touch my hands and wrist. Take your hand and put it in my side and stop doubting and believe." And now the third time with the disciples is his appearance to them on the seashore by the Lake of Galilee. When you think about it, it might appear that things are slow and mundane ever since that glorious Easter morning when the empty tomb and Jesus appeared by the sea. And that third appearance to his disciples changes the feeling and temperament in the air, literally. You see, nothing monumental has changed with the disciples just yet. Outside of the fact that besides hope and joy seeing Jesus alive again, things have pretty much stayed the same for them. They're no longer holed up in Jerusalem. They're not really fearful at this point of being locked up and being treated in the same manner that Jesus was by Pilate and then the Jewish Sanhedrin. No, not yet. That'll come later. Now, when we read this text, if you remember, Peter and Andrew were brothers, and they had a fishing business. They had peers as well, James and John, who were also in the fishing business. So out of the 12 disciples, 4 were fishermen. And Peter decides to go fishing. Maybe he's feeling the blahs, and maybe he wants to get away from everything and clear his head. He wants to take everything into consideration, what has happened since Jesus' betrayal in the Garden of Gethsemane, his trial, his brutal crucifixion and flogging, his death on Calvary, and then that beautiful Easter morning when the stone had been rolled away and the tomb was empty. But you know what? Human nature being what it is, Peter goes back to what he knows best, and that's fishing. And I think we do the same as well in our own lives, in our own respective ways. So when Peter says, "I'm going fishing," 6 other disciples decided to join him. They said, "Why not? Let's get away from the city. Let's go to the lake and let's catch some fish." Not a bad idea when you think about it. So what's the plan? And off they go. And like the other times reading the Gospels, they catch nothing. Interestingly enough, since the resurrection of Jesus and his various appearances, the disciples really aren't going about preaching about the kingdom of God. Nor are people coming to conversion and faith in Christ. That'll happen later, but right now that's not happening. They're on the incognito, they're on the down low. You know, fishing a night only brings them darkness and empty nets and maybe a stiff back. And after a long night of catching nothing, they decide to head to the shore. And as they get closer to the shore, suddenly a voice calls out to them, "Friends, have you any fish?" You know, the Living Translation of the Bible says, "Fellows, have you caught any fish?" And as usually the case, the disciples don't recognize the voice, which makes sense. And that makes sense because when you think about it, from a distance and across the water, or maybe with a little fog and a mist on the lake, they're not going to really recognize that voice, and they don't know who's talking to them. Well, that same voice instructs them to cast their nets on the right side of the boat, and presto chango, their nets are suddenly filled with fish, so many fish they were unable to haul it into the boat. Now, you might be scratching your head saying, does this episode sound familiar? You better believe it does. If you go to Luke chapter 5, you will read where Jesus is teaching many people. There are so many people crowding in on him that he says to Peter, hey, let's get in your boat, let's leave the shore, and let's go out a little, and I'll teach from your boat, and my voice will reverberate across the water. Well, afterwards, all the teaching and preaching about the kingdom of God, Peter is instructed by Jesus to throw his fishing nets into the water, the deep water. And Peter says, he's protesting. He says, Lord, we were up all night. We didn't catch anything, not even a minnow. We caught nothing. But Peter being Peter, he relents and he listens to the Lord. He throws his nets overboard and he catches so many fish that he calls others over to help with their boats. And as they were hauling in this fish, their nets begin to break. And they're trying to get the fish into their boats. There's so many fish, their boats begin to sink. Peter has a revelation, an epiphany. And he has a personal confession to make. And he says this to Jesus, go away from me, Lord, I'm a sinful man. Then Jesus said to Peter, don't be afraid. From now on, you will be catching people. Fast forward to this morning's text, and when John hears this voice coming across the water, telling them to cast their nets on the right side of the boat, and then he sees this haul of fish before them, it's deja vu all over again, and he instantly tells Peter, it is the Lord. Now, you might ask yourself this question, why would Peter, of all people, become so excited and grab his outer garment and then jump into the lake only to swim ashore when everyone else remained in their respective boat? You know, when Peter comes to the shore, he sees a charcoal fire going with coals. And there's a little fish on it and there's some bread. And Jesus invited Peter to warm himself by the fire. And then he says to him, bring me some of the fish you just caught. Come and have breakfast. You see, this charcoal fire has more significance for Peter than it does for the other six disciples. Yes, Peter was warming himself up by the fire. And yes, he was having a little fish and chips as well. But when you think about it, there's a connection between this fire on the seashore and another fire. It was another charcoal fire. In fact, if you go to the Gospel of John chapter 18 and you take the time to read from verses 15 through 27, we read once again where Peter is standing by a fire, warming himself up in the high priest's courtyard. And during the course of the night, Peter, who promised he would never leave or forsake or betray his Lord, denies Jesus three times. And after that third time and the rooster crowing, the scriptures tell us that he wept bitterly at his betrayal. You see, that's the connection between the courtyard fire and the lakeshore fire. You know, guilt is a hard emotion to get over for most people. And Peter, as we all know, is like you and I in many respects. I wonder, as Peter came closer to the shore and he saw the fire and he saw Jesus, if those memories of his betrayal came flooding back to what I just mentioned. Jesus doesn't berate or reproach Peter for his past failures. He doesn't call him a traitor or a deserter, even though he could have. Nope, Jesus says to Peter, come by the fire and bring some of the fish you caught and join my breakfast club. You know, like a child caught misbehaving, Peter tries to earn his way back into the good graces of Jesus, and he presents him with a net full of 153 large fish. I would imagine at some point in their conversation and interactions that Peter and Jesus looked straight at each other. Because, folks, when you think about it, if you're going to have honest, transparent communication with someone, you have to look them in the eye. They have to see your face, and you have to see their face as well. And during this conversation, Jesus asked Peter what we would say is a very hard question. Let me read it to you again from the scripture. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," he said, you know that I love you." And Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." And again Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Take care of my sheep." The third time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" And Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, "Do you love me?" He said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Feed my sheep." You know, in our church and for other churches across the world, for that matter, this is a Sunday where everyone is invited to join the Breakfast Club. Not just any breakfast club. No. It's Jesus Breakfast Club. And what I mean is that we are being invited to receive and to embrace and to welcome Holy Communion. You see, Holy Communion is a place where we can come as sinners, where no sin is so egregious or so bad that we are rejected or kept from God's grace or mercy at the Lord's table. So use your imagination. What a picture we have. A fire where at one moment Peter is denying Jesus over the hours on a cold night, and the next moment we have another fire where Peter is warming himself and he's having breakfast with Jesus because he's been forgiven. So wherever you are listening to this message, I have a question for you. A question that will read out loudly and strongly. And the question really doesn't come from me, but it comes from Jesus. It's a question he posed to Peter, but it's a question I'm posting to my listening audience. And Jesus asked Peter, and he asked you and I the same question. Do you love me more than these? Do you love me more than your spouse, your children, your grandchildren, your career, your investments, your property, your resources? Do you love me more than your doubts and your insecurities and your fears and your pride? If you do love me, feed my lambs. If you do love me, take care of my sheep. So I say to everyone who is listening to this message, join with Jesus every morning and become a part of his breakfast club. Amen.